it's a very complicated issue that you're talking about, and we have to actually look at it in a different angles for us to be able to get the answer that we want. I know social media has taken this up and just kind of blown it out of proportion, really. That's my thought and that's my opinion. I think this issue has really, really been blown out of proportion, and it's not supposed to be that way. I think and I feel people are really lacking context on this issue. It's just like, you know, when you see something posted on Facebook, before you share it, you also put your comments and stuff and you share. The next person takes it in their own way and stuff like that. And I think this is what's been happening. And the other thing that I want to say is if we kind of look at what's been going on, I think the world has been angry with China because of the coronavirus. And remember when it started, people were also saying, oh, the Chinese virus, it came from China and stuff. So people already had that anger in them and, oh, they didn't inform us or they did do this. And when the issue of Africans came in, it was also more like, you know, putting some other stuff. And on the other hand, if you want to look at Africans themselves, you know, in the previous weeks, we had these French doctors who've been saying they want to test this on Africans.
So are you saying that the Africans were actually scared about, you know?
Yeah, the Africans in their heads, because of what they were seeing, that the French doctors are saying they want to test on Africans. When the Chinese wanted to test the Africans, in their heads, they were like, hello, are we being guinea pigs now? So there was fear of, you know, that based on what they were hearing. And also on the other hand, just to cut things short, this was a misunderstanding that people blew out of proportion.
But we've been seeing on social media some people, there's this lady who was going to seek some kind of help from a hospital when she looked pregnant, but then was turned away. So then we've got other issues where we see some Africans on the streets, you know, all those kind of things. Can we call that fiction or is happening, right?
That's what I'm saying. But you have to use... I'm not sure, you know, you have to use lenses that are, I think. I also want to tell people that, I mean, the issues of racial discrimination or the issues of Africans being not treated well in China, these are issues that have been going on for years. There's nothing new, really, you know. This has been going on for a long time. So I'm actually wondering why people are like, oh, you know, these things have been going on. And I think now what has made it, like what I'm saying, what has made it really kind of maybe gain prominence is the fact that there's this coronavirus, the fact that people have nothing to do, the fact that, you know, we've got so much to say, there's social media and... this is what's happening. But I want to say that both sides, China and Africa, were wrong.
Mm-hmm. So we said that in Guangzhou, or am I pronouncing it properly there? There is a market or market for Africans, and they went there. There were some issues, right? Tell us the issues.
Okay, just to give people context, is it, you know, that we've been in quarantine in China. This is our 13-week quarantine. And Guangzhou is actually China's manufacturing city. And Africans go there to buy clothes, to buy equipment, building materials and stuff. So, and Guangzhou has the largest number of Africans actually in China. Basically, most of them being there on business and some of them being victims of human trafficking and stuff. So there's a mixture of Africans who are there, real business people, victims, and criminals. and this is the truth. There is a mixture of such African people in Guangzhou. So what happened here was China is, like I was saying, it's slowly getting back to business now, and it's opening some shops and businesses. And there are African people who came from home, Africa, and came to China and arrived in March, around 20th of March, and they were told, and they were coming for business, you know, to do, buy whatever their stuff. And they were told to go on quarantine for 14 days. And during those days, they were being tested, like, you know, having their temperatures checked every day. But then towards the end of their quarantine period, they realized that some of them were now showing signs of having coronavirus, which then led to them being asked to go for testing. Now, this is where the issue started. When they were being asked to go for testing, some then thought, you know what? The French doctors say they want to wipe out the African population. Is this it? So now there was resistance of like, no, we are not taking the test. And so this is where the whole thing started of like some... And their resistance was also based on fear of saying, is this the real test? Or now I'm being a guinea pig. Right. So, and then those who agreed to be tested, they got tested. But then for those who were tested, they also found that amongst those Africans, yes, some were positive with coronavirus. Now, I want people to get this point because this is the most important point that this whole thing is about and that I want the world to know. Now, imagine that these people have been locked up for 13 weeks. They also have children. They also have businesses. They are parents. They are daughters and stuff. They've been home. And then compare with us. We are failing to even quarantine ourselves for a week. Now you've got an African who's been tested positive and decides to run away and get into the crowd. Now, what would you do? Because this is not about being African. This is about the health and the well-being of everyone. You've got someone who is positive and is now out there. What would you do? So this has nothing to do with race. I need people to really understand because you and me, I think even you, let's say you've now gone back to business today. You are here at the studio and you're saying, hey, this 13 weeks I've been closed up in my house. Now I'm starting to do my business. And then you hear, a black person, an African person, is positive and is running around. If they come knocking at your door, will you open the door? Let's forget about race for 1 minute. You open the door.
Yeah, that sounds scary. But then when you take the matter further, you see that there were some people who were being evicted, who were actually evicted from their dwellings.
Because they are refusing testing. Guys, listen to this. You know what? I am African and I'm very proud. And the organization that I have stands for the rights of African people. But what I want to say to my people, if we are wrong, sometimes we have to accept responsibilities. We have to accept where we are wrong and not tolerate and not hide behind racial discrimination. I will tell you, yes, there are issues where, of course, Chinese people have treated us so bad. But what would you do with people whom you know, okay, they are not even one now. So many of them are tested. Positive, they're positive, but they're scared, yes, because in their minds, maybe they're being made tests, they don't want. And on the other hand, you've got people who are saying, man, we've been on lockdown for a long time. Mm-hmm. We also want to go back to work. So do you want them to save you? Let's look at that. Now, yes, this is where the trick is. And then the second issue is, one thing you have to know, this is the truth, and I know maybe people shouted to me and whatever, that I'm not standing with Africans. So many Africans, my brother, have no papers. They have no papers. If I tell you, so many Africans have killed themselves just running away from the police. The police knocks at their door. They jump out the window. They would rather jump off 7th floor, 10th floor, running away.
But to be deported. Uh-huh.
Yes.
So that's the other thing, that maybe they are scared that if they go and you are sick and they say, show us your passport, that becomes an issue, right?
Yes. So these are things that people are not even also thinking about. Let's also not just say, just for making stories. But the issue here is, of course, there were people who were tested, and now because of the few people who are running away positive, few people who are refusing to be tested. Now you're refusing to be tested. Please, we all know China is the largest population in the world. So imagine if they've done their best to try and control it. Now imagine these cases are imported. These are cases that are coming from outside. So that means they're going to start that thing all over again. I need you to understand.
It seems as if there are some Chinese that are coming from Italy, Russia, Portugal, and so forth. And now we are seeing an upsurge in cases of coronavirus. So is that the case with what is happening in Guangzhou?
I don't know about the Chinese cases elsewhere. I'm not really sure. But what I'll say is, of course, in Guangzhou, being the manufacturing city, like I said, because when we started getting back to business, business people actually rely on buying stuff for their boutiques, for their companies. They're also now coming into China to buy things.
Yes, yes. The other question is, people are asking here, how many months have you been in under isolation or quarantine, and what has it been like? Can you tell us about that kind of a story?
This is our 13th week. 13 weeks, yeah.
How has it been?
It's been very tough, I'll tell you. It's been really, really tough. Even for me personally, the first week, I couldn't understand what was going on. Mm-hmm. And the way they did it here, it was more hard than it is, all over the world, because all over the world they're saying it's shut down, but they're still allowing people to go around. Here, when they started the shutdown, it was lockdown as in lockdown. You could not go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You were not allowed to go anywhere. Our relatives could not allow to even come and visit.
Yeah, we've got a question from Mukakapulu. He's a lawyer and a legislator at the same time. He represents Kulumani. He says, what about reports of Africans being chased out of restaurants and public spaces, etc.? What's the explanation? That's his question.
Yes, the explanation is very simple. Think of people, like I said, who have just gone back to work after 13 weeks of quarantine. These are people who are also trying to make a living, people. They are trying to make a living. Now, you've got Africans who are positive, roaming around. If they come knocking to your door, will you open? This is the question that I want. If this is nothing to do with them being racial. This is something to do with also protecting themselves. I think we will do the same as well. Whether it's someone like me, even an African ninja, an African comes to me and I'm suspecting, this person is sick. Honestly, I'll not open my door. Honestly, I'll not open my business. Because I open my business, I don't know whether you're okay or not. That means both of us are gone.
Now, looking at the reopening of business in China, when are they doing that? Where you are right now in Beijing, are we started going to work, like, you know, taking trains and all those kind of things?
Yeah, it's opened, and schools will be starting on the 27th of April.
So how has it been? So you're taking trains without masks and other things?
No. People are still wearing masks to go. People are still being checked. There are checkpoints everywhere you go, where they check your temperature and stuff.
So you have had your temperature checked as well, and what are they all saying?
You know, we check our temperature twice every day, and it's mandatory. It's mandatory. I have to send my temperature reading in the morning and in the evening every day, and I've been doing that for the past 12 weeks.
So where do you send it? How do you take the temperature, and where do you send it?
They've prepared apps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So those apps.
Like they have a record of everyone, Vanda. Let me put it that way. So it's easier for them to trace. It's easier to trace, you know, like someone whose temperature is going.
Aha. So what's the temperature? Where they become jittery? What's the temperature like?
For me, I've been playing on like 36.7. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, 36.9. For them, when you are 37, you know, like we always say the normal body temperature is 37 and stuff. But here in China, for coronavirus, when it's 37 and just 37 point something, then they start tracking.
So now, lastly, what can you tell Zimbabweans about being quarantined, fears of contracting coronavirus, and what you've been experiencing up to today?
What I can tell people is it is very important to stay at home. This is how you can beat this. I know we have to work. I know we have to feed our families, but it's also nice to be patient, because it's no use to go to work and say you're trying to help your family, but when you're putting yourself at risk and you then end up leaving that family anyway. So just try and stay at home. One thing that I also want to say to our people concerning the Chinese people, I know in our country we have a lot of Chinese people who are there, but what I want to say to you Zimbabweans, I've been in China for 12 years. I've seen good Chinese people. This is something that I want to tell you. I've seen Chinese people who have gone out of their way to protect and help Africans, to empower Africans. I've also seen, of course, Chinese people who are not racist, but they don't know. They actually lack information, because the Africa that they know is the Africa with kids with flies on their faces, the Africa with poverty, the Africa with animals. They don't know the Africa that is rich, most of them. They know the Africa that is to the lowest low. So when they see some of them, when they see us, that's the picture they have, because that's what they see in the papers. So you can imagine if someone knows, Ruti, you always have flies, you know, where you come from, this, you know, bad things happening in your country, HIV. Some of them, that's what they know when you ask them about Africa.
Who has to tell that story?
Have to tell that story. This is something that I want to say. We as Africans are responsible to flood the media with positive stories. Because right now, I was actually, there was a day that I really got mad with the media. People were calling me, like asking me, like, oh, can we get a comment? And I was saying, do not call me if you've never written a positive story about Africa. Because some of them are coming up now interested in showing those Africans who are sleeping outside. But how about writing the story about those Africans who are business people? Because most of them actually came on business. they're not people who should be sleeping outside. But not even one, I haven't seen any story out there right now writing a different narrative. It's like all, even us Africans, all we're doing, oh, our people are sleeping outside, oh, our people. Why are we spreading that? Not, it's like we love negativity.
But can we ignore that? Can we ignore that?
We shouldn't ignore it, but let the ones who write negativity write negativity. Let's put positivity out there. Because right now, I'll give you an example. Right now, if people are saying Africans in Africa, flies, poverty, HIV, Africans in China, no pictures of Africans sleeping outside. So where are the good Africans? Where do you want the Chinese who've never heard about us to hear about us? Because to them, as long as they're seeing that, that's the picture of Africa. Mm-hmm. You can't blame them when they're chasing you away for what? You don't deserve to them.
So there's a guy here, Robert Lindov, who's saying, you know, when there's a lot of sewer, you know, a sewer flowing in Bare and all those kind of places in Harare townships, do you want us to ignore that? That's his question, you know?
Right. My point is, should the whole population report about the sewer in Imbari? Won't you think if someone else is writing about the sewer in Imbari, someone else can showcase the beauty of Zimbabwe?
Mm-hmm.
Let's tell both sides of the stories. Let's not stick. If we put the sewer, someone who's never been to Imbari, someone who's never been to Zimbabwe, that's the picture they have. You talk about Zimbabwe. I'll give you an example now. Chinese people, if you ask them about Zimbabwe, let me make you have a quick guess. What do you think they say? The first thing when you say Zimbabwe?
The diamonds.
No.
Barren?
No.
Okay, what is it?
The $1 trillion.
Ah.
That's what they talk about, right? If you say, where are you from? I'm from Zimbabwe. They start laughing. Oh, the country with the $1 trillion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So they don't know anything else. When they heard about Zimbabwe, they saw that $1 trillion, that it was the country which had a $1 trillion note.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Anything else, they don't care. They don't know. So...
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.